Well, it's Friday, and that means it's time for the Brentwall Radio program. You're listening to the Beyond Radio Network. 888-279-0626 is the call-in number if you want to be on the program. You know, it seems like every time I turn around, Obama supporters are making fools of themselves. You have a video, it seems like, being posted every day of supporters who are clueless. They don't know anything about Obama. They don't know anything about his policies. They have no idea what he's done over the past 4 years, but they've bought into this cult of personality. They've bought into this idea that Obama is this some sort of messianic figure. And of course, the media has perpetuated this idea of Obama. And I happened to be on the internet yesterday. There's a video that was put out by this, it's kind of like a blog website, Revealing Politics. And they sent out an interviewer. He's not really a reporter, it's just somebody affiliated with the blog. And he was at an Obama campaign event at Ohio University. And it's not Ohio State, I believe it's Miami of Ohio. And he's going through this, and it's mostly young people, college students, and there's one older gentleman, but they're all clueless as to the Benghazi incident. He asked them if they know who Chris Stevens is, what they thought of the attacks at the consulate, and these people are utterly clueless. They have no idea what he's talking about. They don't know who Chris Stevens is. I mean, they have no idea. And here's some of the audio sound bites.
So what do you guys think of the situation in Benghazi?
I have no idea.
You guys know who Ambassador Christie is?
No.
What do you think was the cause for the attacks on the ambassador?
This is the older gentleman now.
Well, I think really the Republicans did it.
What do you girls think?
You hear that? I think the Republicans did it. Now he's talking to two young women.
Of the consulate attacks in Benghazi.
They're both looking at each other.
Are you aware of the consulate attack in Benghazi?
It's like good old John.
No.
No, I'm not aware of the consulate attacks.
I'm not really sure about that.
What do you guys think of how the president handled the consulate attacks in Benghazi?
Ooh.
I'm really uninformed about that, issue, and so sorry I can't really help you with that. But
the attacks in Benghazi.
It comes down to foreign policy for me.
How do you think the president handled the situation in Benghazi?
I don't even know what that is, honestly.
No.
It's in Libya where that ambassador was killed and all those riots.
Finally, one person knows. One person. Oh, yeah. Is in that country, Libya, where that guy was killed?
He didn't care. He just brushed it off his shoulders. That's pretty, you know, that's leadership right there.
Whoa, wait a second. Oh, yeah, Obama, he didn't care. He just brushed it off. You know, that's leadership for you. These are all Obama supporters.
Are you aware that Ambassador Chris Stevens was murdered in Benghazi?
He's asking this lady, were you aware that Chris Stevens was murdered in Benghazi?
No, I'm not. When did that happen?
Do you know who Ambassador Chris Stevens is?
No.
Do you know who Chris Stevens is?
No. No, I'm not really sure. I know something happened and then, I'm not sure even who it was. I just heard it.
So do you know who Ambassador Chris Stevens is?
No,
he
doesn't.
He hasn't voted for Obama, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I support Obama, 100%.
I support Obama. Hands down Obama. I've already voted for Obama.
I want to laugh, and it's funny, but at the same time, it's like, this is unbelievable. And they're all for the most part, there were a couple people there that were older, like the older guy, and there was an older lady, probably in her 50s, but all college students. And then he's asking me at the end, are you going to vote for Obama? Yeah, we're going to vote for Obama, but they have no clue as to the Benghazi attack. This has been plastered on every media source possible. Can you turn on a television? Have you turned on a television in the past month and not heard about this? And they don't. Who's Chris Stevens? Oh, I don't know. I don't know who that. Yeah, I heard about it. Some guy. But they're going to vote for Obama. The first ambassador killed since 1979. Total disaster. But you're supporting Obama? Yeah, I think he's done a good job. Hey, listen, he brushed it off. I mean, this is clear leadership. Clear leadership from Obama. And this is the same type of stuff we're seeing again with that Obama phone video. That was just some guy out there taping at a SEIU event. And here Jimmy Kimmel did kind of something similar. On Tuesday, before the presidential debate at Hofstra University, he sent out one of his guys onto basically the streets of Hollywood, and they're kind of a man on the street thing that Leno does. They all do it. And 4 hours before the debate, and he's going out and asking them questions, hey, what did you think about the debate last night? And there was only one person that said, wait a second, there wasn't a debate last night. The rest of them were all coming up with this cockamamie stuff, making stuff up. Oh, I thought Obama did a great job. Here it is. I mean, it's when I first heard about it, I said, all right, yeah, I've heard this stuff before. But it's once you hear the responses, it's so patently absurd.
When you ask people who won the debate, there's about a 90% chance they're going to say it was the candidate they support. But I always wonder how many of these people actually watched the debate. So we conducted a little experiment this afternoon. The presidential debate started at 6 o'clock here in L.A. So today we went out onto Hollywood Boulevard at 2 o'clock to ask people who they thought won last night's debate. Now, there was no debate last night, which makes this opinion poll a lot more interesting. Enjoy.
Who do you think won last night's presidential debate?
I'm gonna go with Obama. I must say he was stronger this time around in his choice of answering questions and everything. The best part for me, I have to say, is I think there was booing. Wasn't there booing on a certain... Was it McRomney or was it Obama? It was McRomney, right?
McRomney?
I have to say, yeah, that'll probably be my highlight, the booing on McRomney's behalf.
Who do you think won the presidential debate last night?
That was definitely Mr. Obama.
Yeah, any highlights from the debate?
No, just I'm glad he was a little bit more alert this time and not so slacking like he did before.
Not so slacking.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Were there any highlights for you?
There were so many, I can't even tell you. It was a great, great debate.
Did you like it more than the first one?
Oh, much better.
Did you like the town hall style?
I did. More casual.
Were there any questions in particular you liked? Or?
How they're going to fix the economy.
And what did you think of the town hall style debate?
I liked it. I thought it was more intimate. I thought it brought them closer to the people.
What are the chances of running into this many people that are just total phonies? It's unbelievable. I mean, it goes on.
And what did you think of the new moderator?
Okay.
Better than the first one?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think the audience kept it moving different than the first debate when it was kind of a back and forth between them.
Again, just to reiterate, this is 4 hours before the debate, and they're asking what they thought about the debate that happened on Monday night. There wasn't a debate. They're making all this up.
And did you like the town hall style?
Yeah, I think that's a lot better, because the other way was too much bickering in the first debate.
And any particular things that happened that you remember come to mind?
Nah, not really. I mean, I was kind of watching it in between a football game.
Not really.
To be honest, I was watching it off and on, doing a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I was flipping in between that and the baseball and everything, so.
Who do you think won the presidential debate last night?
What presidential debate?
Finally!
They had one last night? Who's running for president?
Finally! So, what presidential debate? It takes him to the very end to find somebody that, what president? But then he does it again. He sent out the same guy or somebody out to interview, basically the same type of thing, out on the street in Hollywood. And this time he's asking them about, what did you think of the First Lady debate? There wasn't a debate, and there's not going to be a debate. And again, same type of thing.
And one more thing. I would like to go back to last night's debate for a moment. We had a fun bit on last night's show. Everyone seems to have strong opinions about the presidential debate. So I decided to conduct an experiment. So before the debate aired last night, we sent a crew out on the Hollywood Boulevard to ask pedestrians what they thought of it, even though it hadn't happened yet. And we found quite a few people who had very passionate opinions about something they did not see. They lied to us. So today we did a similar experiment, but we made it even more ridiculous. Today we asked people what they thought about last night's First Lady debate between Michelle Obama and Ann Romney. Now, as you probably know, there's no such thing as a First Lady debate, but that did not stop the following people from weighing in on it.
Who do you think won the debate between Ann Romney and Michelle Obama last night?
I'd have to say Michelle Obama. She really did a lot better. Her speech was more grafted in. It was, more finely well cut. I think she has a lot of experience as the president's wife, as a political figure in the public limelight.
What
so
the hell?
it just went a lot smoother for her. She's just more experienced at this time.
Who do you think won the debate last night between Ann Romney and Michelle Obama?
Definitely Ann Romney. I think she's a very classy and wonderful lady.
Was there anything she said during the debate in particular that you liked?
No, I just like how she looks.
Who do you think won the debate last night between Ann Romney and Michelle Obama?
I think Michelle Obama.
Of course.
Because she was a lot more, I would say, aggressive. She was like she was more accurate than the Republican candidate.
Who do you think won the debate last night between Ann Romney and Michelle Obama?
Michelle.
Why do you say that?
Because I love her.
Do you think she did a better job?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's amazing. I mean, she connected with people. That's what
she
I felt.
She connected with people.
Was there anything in particular she said that spoke to you?
No, in general, I just saw a little bit of it, to tell you honestly. I had something else going on, so I didn't see the whole debate.
Yeah,
but I saw the personality came out, the connection came out. She seemed more to the ground than Ann.
Who do you think won the debate last night between Ann Romney and Michelle Obama?
I would probably have to say Michelle Obama.
How come?
Because she gets people in, like, at the core. Like, she can make, she has, like, this, like, it makes people feel, like,
what the hell is this guy talking
about? Sympathy for her. And she kind of, like, it's like a guilt trip kind of thing.
What? So. What? What the hell is that? But these people are going to vote. So I don't even know what to say about that. Now, meanwhile, while all the fun and games are going on, after the debate on Tuesday night, I mean, you have death threats being tweeted out by Obama supporters, death threats against Romney, and the media is not covering it. Just not a peep. And let me just give you a sampling. And it started during the debate. It continued after the debate. It's still going on. And a lot of these were compiled on Twitchy, which is Michelle Malkin's website. I hate Romney. Like, I'll personally assassinate him. I'm not even scared. Get at me, FBI. Somebody gotta assassinate Romney ass so he don't try again after Obama's second term or we doomed. These people are also Rhodes Scholars. Vote Obama as vice president. Let Romney win president. Then we assassinate him. Boom. Obama wins and we don't have to worry about Romney anymore. Let Romney get in office. MF-er's gonna assassinate the F out of him. I just used close to $200 worth of food stamps today. Romney, don't take that away. 70% of America will assassinate you. Yep, somebody finna assassinate Romney ass. That fool didn't know what the F he was Tom about. And if Mitt Romney becomes president, I'll personally assassinate himself. It goes on, just continues. Now, the reason I bring this up, of course, the intelligence community said, oh, we're looking into it. We're going to make sure that there's no probable threat against Romney. Yet the same thing happened 2 months ago in Birmingham. A threat was made against Obama, and the guy's been detained ever since. I have it right here. Birmingham man arrested after threatening to kill President Obama. Jarvis Britton of Birmingham is currently in the custody of U.S. Marshals after sending a series of tweets threatening to kill President Barack Obama. This is September 24th. According to court documents filed today, Britain sent tweets on June 28th saying, "Free speech? Really? Let's test this. Let's kill the president." And he also said, "I'm going to finish this. If they get me, they get me. Hashtag, oh well, I think we could get the president with cyanide." A day later, the same... Now, I'm not condoning this. I'm just pointing this out. A day later, the same document says Britain tweeted again, "Barack Obama, I wish you were dead." Special Agent Philip Holly met with Britain a few days later and explained the seriousness of the matter. But according to the same agent, another tweet was sent on September 14th saying, "Let's kill the president, F-E-A-R." Britain is currently being held in the Jefferson County Jail. He will make his preliminary court appearance Wednesday. Okay, fast forward to October the 16th. Jarvis Britain, today, the man accused of tweeting threats on the president's life, appeared before a judge. Britain did not speak at his own arraignment on Tuesday morning. His public defender, Rick Burgess, entered his plea of not guilty. Britain was seen in the courtroom with his hands and ankles shackled while wearing a red jail jumpsuit. He's been locked up since last month. He's been locked up since last month after a federal judge denied bond. Prosecutors in the case say Britain threatened Obama over Twitter in June. He was visited by Secret Service and warned about his actions. The indictment came after Britain made more threatening tweets in September. The judge said a psychological evaluation shows the 25-year-old suspect is not psychotic and acted out intentionally. Now, I don't agree with tweeting out the assassination attempt of anybody, let alone the president or Governor Romney. But this just goes to show you all these, I mean, hundreds of tweets being sent out about Governor Romney and assassinating him, and nothing's done. One person tweets out about the president, and he's held indefinitely for over a month. And, I mean, isn't there a little bit of a problem there with that? I mean, shouldn't we be, if I know Romney's not the president, but he's a public figure, he's a former governor, he's probably going to be president in the next 3 weeks. And it just seems a little disturbing to me that nothing's being done about these threats. And the media is just choosing not to report this stuff. And meanwhile, Obama's out there. He was on The Daily Show. And he keeps stepping in it. You know, during the debate at Hofstra, he stepped in it, saying that, well, you know, I don't know, my remarks in the Rose Garden, you know, I said this wasn't a terror attack, or that it was a terror attack. And, but yet he didn't. He was talking about September 11th, and he said that we would not put up with acts of terror. However, he was not clear. He did not call the attack at the consulate in Benghazi a terrorist attack. And you say, well, maybe we could have given him a pass, but here's the problem. Consistently after that, as he appeared on cable television shows, as he appeared on late night TV, he was asked, was this a terrorist attack? The famous question. He was on The View, Joy Behar. Well, was this a terrorist attack? Almost 2 weeks later. And he's telling her, well, you know, we don't have all the facts. We really got to look at this. I don't want to call it a terrorist attack. But yet then during the debate, he's telling Romney, oh, no, I said this was a terrorist attack from the very beginning. It's completely true. It's a lie. Or it's untrue. It's a lie. But yet they knew. That night, they knew it was a terrorist attack. After it had happened, they knew, the intelligence community knew it was a terrorist attack. Obama knew it was a terrorist attack. The president of Libya came right out and said, this wasn't some demonstration about a video. This was about coordinating a terrorist attack on the anniversary of September 11th. And of course, then we have Obama and Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice and Jay Carney and whatever else other clown they can walk out there apologizing. They film this commercial that airs in Pakistan apologizing. You know, the U.S. government didn't have anything to do with this video. We don't tolerate, you know, religious intolerance. Yet this is the most intolerant president in U.S. history when it comes to religion. This is the same president who wants to force his will upon the Catholic Church through Obamacare and the mandates within Obamacare. And so Obama's on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and he's asking him about Benghazi. And Stewart says, you know, is part of the investigation helping the communication between these divisions? He's talking about, you know, the intelligence community. Not just what happened in Benghazi, but what happened within. Because I would say, even you would admit it was not the optimal response, at least to the American people, as far as all of us being on the same page. And his response, here's what I'll say. If four Americans get killed, it's not optimal. That, it's not optimal? He's talking about four people that were killed, including our ambassador and two former Navy SEALs. Usually when somebody is killed or there's a death, you don't refer to it as something that's optimal, as in it wasn't preferable. Every time we turn around, and it seems like it's close, we're getting closer to the election, he keeps stepping in it. The verbal miscues are happening. And at the same time, on the opposite side, that's not happening with Romney. Romney's saying all the right things. And despite the fact they're trying to paint him as this evil rich guy, he's saying all the right things. He's harping on the problems at hand. He's harping on the fact that Obama wants to move us forward with this bogus campaign slogan that he's using that, you know, was the cover of every communist, socialist, Marxist newspaper from the 1930s and 40s. It's a famous motto of all Marxists, forward. He's harping on the fact that Obama's not going to move us forward. The only thing he's going to do is enact more of the same policies that have exacerbated the problem for the past 4 years. And he can sit there and talk about George W. Bush and that he inherited this terrible mess. But the fact of the matter is that his policy, and he did inherit a mess. He did inherit a mess. But the fact of the matter is that his policies have done nothing but made things worse. The trillion-dollar deficits every year, the absolute leviathan of new regulations that are being passed down on manufacturing and small business. He is killing middle-class people in this country, everyday people. These policies are not going to change if he's reelected. It's going to be more of the same, more unemployment, more people on food stamps, more people on unemployment. This is not the way forward. This is not the way to prosperity. And Romney is continuing to hammer this point home, and it's working. The polling is showing a shift. Romney was behind. In the past month, he was lagging behind in a lot of the swing states. Now it's a dead heat, and many of them he's ahead. He's ahead in Pennsylvania, which is huge. The latest Gallup poll has him up 52-45, which previously, you look at last month, he was down, it was the other way around. It was flip-flopped. So this, and by no means is this am I saying it's over with. It's not. We still have 3 weeks to go. But Obama is in trouble. And he's out there during these debates. He's on the defensive. He can't defend his record because there's nothing. He's not going to trumpet his accomplishments because they're highly unpopular. I'm way over here. I got to take a break. But when we get back, I'm not done with this. We'll be back in just a second.
What happened in Benghazi was a terrorist attack.
What happened in Benghazi was a terrorist attack.
And I would say yes, they were killed in the course of a terrorist attack on our embassy.
Terrorist attack.
Terrorist attack.
Terrorist attack.
I want to talk about Libya for a second because on 9/11 of this past year, our embassy was attacked there and we lost four people, including the ambassador. Then I heard Hillary Clinton say that it was an act of terrorism. Is it? What do you say?
Well, we're still doing an investigation. There's no doubt that the kind of weapons that were used, the ongoing assault, that it wasn't just a mob action. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we don't have all the information yet.
What happened in Benghazi was a terrorist attack.
Terrorist attack.
Terrorist attack.
President Obama's first term.
We've tried their plan, we've tried our plan, and it worked.
Over 23 million unemployed, underemployed, or have given up hope. Unemployment over 8% for 40 straight months. And a 45% increase in the number of people who need food stamps.
We tried our plan and it worked.
If President Obama's plan worked, how come so many Americans aren't working? The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I think the Vice President very well knows that sometimes the words don't come out of your mouth the right way.
I always say what I mean. I always say what I mean.
You were asked, is he ready? You said, I think he can be ready, but right now I don't believe he is. The presidency is not something that lends itself to on-the-job training.
I think that I stand by the statement.
I always say what I mean.
You know the phrase they always use? Obama and Biden want to raise taxes by $8 trillion. Guess what? Yes, we do.
I always say what I mean.
Look, guys, think of this is deadly earnest, man. This is deadly earnest. The middle class has been buried the last 4 years.
They have been ravaged. They have been ravaged. It's a depression for millions and millions of Americans.
Has anybody not told him they've been in the White House for the past 4 years?
I always say what I mean.
The middle class has been buried the last 4 years.
Why would anybody in this upcoming election be undecided? And the reason I ask this is that I was actually doing, I did some phone banking earlier in the week for Governor Romney, and some of the people I called, they were elderly, and some of the, you know, I'm undecided. And I guess I could maybe see your point in any other election, but in this election, I don't think the differences can be any more stark between the two candidates. You have Governor Romney, who has experience creating jobs, creating wealth in the private sector. And hey, listen, I'm no Romney cheerleader. I didn't support him in the primary. I supported Herman Cain and Rick Santorum. I liked Michelle Bachmann. Romney was way down on the list for me. But the fact of the matter is, here's where we've come to. He's the nominee, and the choice is clear. We need jobs. We need wealth creation. We need growth. We need GDP to increase at more than a 1% clip. And Mitt Romney has a record of doing these things. He was the governor of a state. He was the governor of Massachusetts. He knows how to balance budgets. He knows how to cut spending. He knows how to create an environment where you have a fiscal soundness. Obama doesn't know how to do any of that. Barack Obama has no experience in the private sector, and he has surrounded himself with people that are academics, bureaucrats, community organizers. These people have no experience creating jobs. They wouldn't know what a payroll looked like if it was sitting right in front of them. And you have all these faculty lounge theorists advising the president, and they all think they have these great ideas of how to get the economy jump-started. None of it's worked. And if he's reelected, nothing he does will work. There's not one policy, there's not one piece of legislation that the Democrats will put forward that will create any wealth, that will create any prosperity. Not one. And make no mistake, I have my issues with Romney, and I think there's going to be conservatives. It's our job, once he gets elected, to pull him to the right in many areas and make sure that he doesn't go down the same road that George W. Bush went down with regard to spending and other progressive-type policies. There's plenty of, I don't believe we should be sending money to every country in the world, especially to dumping money into Africa like Bush did. However, the choice is clear. Wealth creation, Romney. You want more people on food stamps, more people on the government dole? That's what's going to happen with Obama. And if this Obamacare disaster is not repealed during the Romney presidency, we got huge issues. And it's certainly not going to get repealed if Obama's reelected. It is the single biggest infringement on individual sovereignty in the history of all mankind, and certainly in the history of the country. And I don't care what a bunch of statists and progressives on the Supreme Court ruled. It is unconstitutional. The federal government has no right to tell you that you need to buy a good or a service. If they can regulate, if they can tell you that you have to buy health insurance, then there is no end to what they can mandate and regulate and tell you what you have to buy. If they can control your health, then that's ball game. So it is imperative that Romney is elected. It is imperative that we take a majority in the Senate. It is imperative that this law is defunded and repealed. And that's only going to happen with a Romney presidency. And even if he's elected, it's going to be tough getting this thing repealed. It's landmark legislation. It is a monstrous piece of just, it's a mess. Thousands of pages of new regulations, many of which are already being implemented. There, many of which are already affecting the healthcare policies, especially of elderly people. It's driving up the cost of healthcare already. It's hurting small businesses. A lot of the taxes that are connected to this legislation kick in next year, it's going to be a real issue. Now, the full scope of the law won't be in effect until 2014, but the taxes that a lot of them that are connected to it will go in effect next year, and that's going to absolutely kill small business. It's going to kill it. And I'm not just somebody that's sitting here pontificating. I work with a small business. I know it's tough. It's already tough having to deal with the IRS. And now they're going to have this added burden upon the small business owner. It's not only going to hurt small business, but it's going to hurt the little guy, which Obama claims he's for. And the Democrat Party always claims, well, we're for the little guy. Well, the legislation like this is killing the little guy. It's going to cause more people to be out of work and more people on the government dole, which in the end, you know, many people believe that that's Obama's end game anyway. Get as many people on the dole as possible. Create a permanent voting block for the Democrat Party of people who are on welfare, food stamps, and the whole nine yards. Make us more like Europe. Continue to make us insolvent. Obama disdains the idea of a representative republic. He sees the social democratic countries of Western Europe, and that's his wet dream, is making the United States into that. Why the hell else would he say in 2008, I want to fundamentally transform the United States of America? What other candidate in U.S. history has run a campaign on the transformation of the country? We don't need a candidate who's going to transform this country. We need a candidate who's going to restore it and restore us to our founding principles and make Americans once again proud to be Americans. We don't have to play second fiddle to anybody, let alone China or Brazil. No one. We've been number one for 200 plus years. This is the first time in U.S. history that under this president, we have a credit rating that dropped. First time from AAA, we've been downgraded. And yet this is the way forward. More debt, more spending, more taxes, more of a burden on the wealth creators, on small business. Taxing small business is not the way forward. And taxing the rich is not the way forward either. You could tax 100% of the wealth of millionaires and billionaires in this country. You couldn't run the government for 2 months. It doesn't work. It never has worked. It never will work. He talks about redistributing wealth and making everybody has their fair share. You know what's fair? It's cutting taxes and cutting spending and broadening the tax base. You want more revenue coming into the treasury? Then you put more people to work. You cut taxes. You take the burden off investors and small business. You will broaden the tax base. More people will be working. That's how you get money into the treasury, not by increasing tax rates on the rich, quote unquote, which is essentially me and Tim. But this is, and again, I'm holding right here from the Daily Caller. Welfare is the government's single largest budget item in fiscal year 2011 at approximately $1 trillion. And where has it gotten us? Where have any of these policies gotten us? these social welfare programs that were started under FDR that ballooned under Lyndon Johnson. They continued under Carter and Clinton and now are skyrocketing under Obama. Where has it gotten us? I'm going to dive into this report when we get back. We're going to take a break.
This is the worst economic recovery America has ever had.
Unemployment is still not on the real
growing even more slowly than
you know the phrase they always use? Obama and Biden want to raise taxes by $8 trillion. Guess what?
Guess what?
Yes, we do.
My view is that we got to provide tax relief to people in the middle class. Under the president's policies, middle-income Americans have been buried.
We're going to do everything in our power to keep America strong in our homes, in our economy, in our military. Second to none, this nation has a mission to reform. We're going to make it happen. We're going to keep America the shining city on the hill. You're going to help us win the White House in November. Let's get it done. Thank you.
If you want to be president, you owe the American people the truth. The truth.
Now with a fact check of the debate.
This claim is based on a fiscal fiction.
The bipartisan nonprofit committee for a responsible federal budget has called that a gimmick. And the president is also counting on savings agreed to last year when the White House and Congress agreed to raise the debt ceiling.
Governor Romney's central economic plan calls for a $5 trillion tax cut.
I rate that mostly fiction.
Mostly fiction.
Tonight, President Obama said that his plan would cut the deficit by $4 trillion. That estimate comes from the left-leaning Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
Social Security is structurally sound. It's going to have to be tweaked.
But according to the Congressional Budget Office, Social Security will run into financial trouble by the year 2030. The amount Social Security pays out will exceed the tax revenue coming in.
President Obama accused Mitt Romney of proposing a $5 trillion tax cut and thus adding to the deficit. But the nonpartisan website factcheck.org says that is not true. Another questionable statement, Obama again said he'd raise taxes on upper income people only to the rates they were when Bill Clinton was president. But actually, many high income people would pay more than they did then.
The president falsely claimed fiscal fiction.
True, mostly fiction.
Another questionable statement.
President, you owe the American people the truth.
At some point, will you say, wait a minute, we've spent this amount of money, we're not seeing the results, we've got to change course dramatically.
Yeah. Look, I'm at the start of my administration. One nice thing about the situation I find myself in is that I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years.
You're going to know quickly how people feel about what's happening.
That's exactly right. And you know, a year from now, I think people are going to see that we're starting to make some progress, but there's still going to be some pain out there. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
Do you remember that, Tim? That's February of 2009. February 2009. If I don't have this done, then it's going to be a one-term proposition. So, Mr. President, I don't think you have any. You haven't gotten it done. But let's be honest. You weren't planning on getting the economy going. I mean, come on. Your plan has been deindustrializing the country, managing our decline, so to speak. Every time I hear him in these debates and talk about moving forward, I think of this when he sat down with Matt Lauer, and you had this. Well, you know, if I don't get this done in the first term, it's going to be a one-term proposition. Well, yeah, it's going to be a one-term proposition. You're done. And getting back to this piece in the Daily Caller by Carolyn May. Now, keep in mind, welfare is the government's single largest budget item in fiscal year it was in 2011 at approximately $1 trillion. Not the wars, which they Democrats always claim that's such our main expenditure. Why we spend all these money in wars? No, it was the welfare budget. The government spent approximately $1 trillion on 83 means-tested federal welfare programs in fiscal year 2011 alone, a price tag that makes welfare that year the government's largest expenditure, according to new data released by the Republican side of the Senate Budget Committee. The total sum taxpayers spent on federal welfare programs was derived from a new Congressional Research Service report on federal welfare spending, which topped out at $745 billion for fiscal year 2011, combined with an analysis from the Republican Senate Budget Committee staff of state spending on federal welfare programs. The data excludes spending. This is where I get it. The data excludes spending on Social Security, Medicare, means-tested health care for veterans without service-connected disabilities, and the means-tested veterans pension program. So we're not even talking Medicare or Social Security here. According to the CRS report, which focused solely on federal spending for federal welfare programs, spending on federal welfare programs increased $563 billion in fiscal year 2008 to $745 billion in fiscal year 2011, a 32% increase. Further, spending on the 10 largest federal welfare programs has doubled as a share of the federal budget in the last 30 years. In inflation-adjusted dollars, according to Republican staff on the Senate Budget Committee, the amount spent on these programs has increased 378% in that 30-year time frame. And meanwhile, the poor aren't getting any, they're getting poorer. These people are staying in poverty. The vast majority of them, these programs that are supposed to benefit the least fortunate among us, especially those in the minority community, they have only destroyed those people's lives further. The black community is poorer. The black community is no better off because of these policies. Black unemployment right now is through the roof, especially with regard to teenage black unemployment. But yet, it's increased since under Obama's watch, $745 billion, it went from $563 billion, a 32% increase. She continues, CRS reports that food assistance programs, the third largest welfare category behind health and cash assistance, experienced the greatest increase in spending, with 71% more spending in 2011 than in 2008. The agency explained that this spending increase was largely due to the growth in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or food stamps. CRS further noted that the largest expenditure category, health, was 37% higher in fiscal year 2011 than 2008. The total federal spending on federal welfare programs vastly outpaced fiscal year 2011 spending on such federal expenditures as non-war defense, $540 billion, Social Security, $725 billion, Medicare, $480 billion, and departments such as Justice, Transportation, and Education, a fact that alarmed the ranking member of the Senate Budget Committee, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, who requested the report from CRS. Quote, "These astounding figures demonstrate that the United States spends more on federal welfare than any other program in the federal budget," Sessions wrote the Daily Caller in an email. "It's time to restore, not retreat, from the moral principles of the 1996 welfare reform. Such reforms, combined with measures to promote growth, will help both the recipient and the Treasury." And keep in mind, it was Obama that just roughly a month ago took the teeth out of welfare. The work for welfare requirement was removed. So, and why would you do that if you're president of the United States? If you're interested in getting people off the government dole, out of welfare, creating a, letting these people become more independent, why would you take the work requirement out? Why would you do that if you're interested in creating more independent people, more people paying taxes, more people working and contributing to society? Why would you do that? When state spending on federal welfare programs, specifically Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, was thrown into the mix, the amount spent on federal welfare increased 28% from $798 billion in fiscal year 2008 to $1 trillion in 2011. Sessions continued, "No longer should we measure compassion by how much money the government spends, but by how many people we help to rise out of poverty," and that's exactly right. It is not about... And this goes for every department. And there's no sacred cow. Defense spending as well. The more money that is dumped into these departments, there are not improvements being made. And specifically welfare and in the Department of Education. Every year, more and more money is put into welfare and to the education into the Department of Education, and we still have failing schools throughout the country. We still have a low graduation rate. It's not changing anything. Dumping more money, that is not the solution. But yet, this is what Obama and the Democrats are going to continue to do if he's reelected. Sessions continued, welfare assistance should be seen as temporary whenever possible. And the goal must be to help more of our fellow citizens attain gainful employment and financial independence. This is about more than rescuing our finances. It's about creating a more optimistic future for millions of struggling Americans. And he's exactly right. Enabling these people further is not the way forward. Benjamin Franklin once said that, and I'm paraphrasing, but the way to help people out of poverty is to give them a hand up, not a hand out. And we're only giving handouts. We're not giving hands. We're not giving them a hand up. We're not making these people into contributing members of society. All these policies do, the only thing they do is to just create more dependency. If you're getting $400 a week in unemployment, why should you go and get a job doing something else, especially if you don't enjoy that particular job, and you're making the same amount? Well, these people, if they don't have any work ethic, they're just going to stay on welfare. So it is not the way forward. This is not how you get the economy growing. And above any of this, we can't afford it anymore. $1 trillion spending in fiscal year 2011 just on welfare? And this president is running $1 trillion deficits. He's dumping more money into these programs. More people are on food stamps now than ever before. It's jumped by, I want to say, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's over 10 million. 1 in 6 are living in poverty. That's not the way forward. But if Barack Obama, and I want you Democrats out there to listen to this, and you undecideds and you independents, if Barack Obama is reelected, we're going to have more people on the dole, and that means more money coming out of your pocket. If you're working, guess what? Your taxes are going up because somebody's got to pay for all this welfare spending. Somebody's got to pay for all these big government programs and schemes. So the money's coming from you, and it's going to come from, and more money's going to come out of your pocket as a result of Obamacare being passed into law. So you need to think long and hard when you go out and vote on November 6th, or if you're casting a vote via absentee ballot, you need to think really hard whether you want Obama or Romney. More statism, or do we want somebody who has a record of creating wealth? You've got to make your choice. We'll be back in just a second.
Let's do that one we made up about the Obama scam pain.
No. Oh, Mr. Scam Man.
Scam Man, yeah. Mr. Scam Man, where is your dream? I thought my life would be all peaches and cream. Now I don't have a job and I'm out of money. And moving forward, things don't look too sunny. Scam Man, I'm so alone. Don't have a mortgage to call my own. So much for the roses and the clover. I'm using food stamps to feed a rover. Mr. Scam Man, we need a cure and not a worldwide apology tour. You're tearing down our country's good reputation by trying to make us an Obama nation. Scam Man, hey, don't touch a thing. Take more vacation time and work on your swing. We need a president a little wiser than a community organizer. Bum 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 bum. Oh, bummer. Scam Man, we can't forget. You promised you'd reduce the national debt. That's what so many millions gave you their vote for. A change of your address is all we hope for, scam man. Hey, you're breaking our backs. Is it a penalty or is it a tax? Only half of us are paying our share. That's fair. He don't seem to even Obamacare. We all say no, no, no Obamacare. Yeah.
Hurry up, November 4th.
Can't get here soon enough.
Back here at the Beyond Radio Network and the Brentwall Radio Program. Last night was the Alfred E. Smith dinner in New York City, which happens every year. And it's tradition that during the presidential campaigns, the candidates show up and they speak. And it's almost like a roast, so to speak. It's the candidates kind of rip on themselves. They rip on each other. And last night, Mr. Milquetoast Romney, who we're told has zero personality and is as stiff as a board, had some funny comments about Obama. And I've got some of the clips here. Bear with me as I move through here. I don't have a montage prepared, so I'm just going to play them off the cuff here.
I was actually hoping the president would bring Joe Biden along this evening, because he'll laugh at anything. Of course, we're down to the final months of the president's term. As presidents, as President Obama surveys the Waldorf banquet room with everyone in white tie and finery, you have to wonder what he's thinking. So little time, so much to redistribute.
Oh. Nice. Nice. Mr. Milquetoast getting a little ornery here. I kind of like it. Here's the next one.
And by the way, in the spirit of Sesame Street, the president's remarks tonight are brought to you by the letter O and the number 16 trillion.
Oh, nice. Nice. Listen to the crowd in New York.
Campaigns can be grueling, exhausting. President Obama and I are each very lucky to have one person who's always in our corner, someone who we can lean on, and someone who's a comforting presence without whom we wouldn't be able to go another day. I have my beautiful wife, Anne. He has Bill Clinton.
I love it.
Words that says, I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message. Of course, rules of fairness have to be enforced.
Listen to this.
Because what other safeguard do we have besides the press? And
this is natural.
Now, I never suggest that the press is biased. I recognize they have their job to do, and I have my job to do.
This is great.
My job is to lay out a positive vision for the future of the country, and their job is to make sure no one else finds out about it.
And Katie Couric, I think, yeah, it is Katie Couric, sitting right behind them.
Let's just say that some in the media have a certain way of looking at things. When suddenly I pulled ahead in some of the major polls, what was the headline? Polls show Obama leading from behind. And I've already seen early reports from tonight's dinner. Headline, Obama embraced by Catholics. Romney dines with rich people.
That's right on.
The president has put his own stamp on relations with the church. There have been some awkward moments, like when the president pulled Pope Benedict aside to share some advice on how to deal with his critics. He said, "Look, Holy Father, whatever the problem is, just blame it on Pope John Paul II.
Those were kind of the highlights of last night. But I thought that was really, whoever wrote that, it was clever. It was funny. Just blame it on Pope John Paul II. And blame it on Bush. Any problems you have, just blame it on Bush. So ending this show here on a bit of a high note, a funny note. But we'll be back next Friday. And, of course, Monday, Bob Van Sweden will be here at 10 a.m. With the golf report. I hope you all have a fantastic weekend, and I am out.
What began as a whisper has now swelled to a chorus that cannot be ignored, that will not be deterred, that will ring out across this land as a hymn that will heal this nation, repair this world, make this time different than all.
Now and then I think of that election day, November. When you won, I felt so happy I could die. Chugged a fifth, paraded in the street, and I thank God that Palin wasn't Veep. It felt like change, and it's a hope I still remember.
Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek.
You can get addicted to a certain kind of message. Like this is change we can believe in. Yes, we can. College ended, had to pay my rent. At least you're the first gay president. But the change I got was that I moved in with my mother. Because you won and then you cut me off. Now your speeches never soar as high as unemployment. You took Obamacare so far, but you left me like a dog strapped on Romney's car. Even the shirt that was on my back is owned by China or being arbitraged by Goldman Sachs. Just send in a predator drone, cause now you're not Obama that I used to know. Now you're not Obama that I used to know. Now I need Obama that I used to know.
Yes.